Why is it important that Jesus be seen as 100% God, divine, and 100% man? Why is the humanity of Christ so important? We're going to talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Thank you for joining us. I want to welcome all of you who are listening to our podcast and those who have joined us here on the YouTube. We're in Hebrews, entering into chapter 2. Today we're going to begin at verse 5 and go all the way down through verse 9. I'm glad that you're following along, and let's walk through this very important subject, because the writer of Hebrews has made a strong point in chapter 1 that Jesus is superior than the angels, and he begins completing that statement in chapter 2. Today, however, we're going to talk about the importance of Jesus' humanity and why that is so important for us to understand. Let's get right into the scriptures, reading this, starting in verse 5, the reading of God's Word. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. What is being said here? He begins by saying, he has not put the world to come in subjection to angels. He's continuing the emphasis of why Jesus is so much greater than the angels. As we've already stated, the Hebrew thought of these Christians who had the Jewish background would be the superiority of angels, because it was the angels that gave the law, the old covenant, to Moses. Even though it was from God, God used the angels, and it says in the scriptures, Acts 7:53, one place, is that the law came, it came to Moses by the angels. And so they would have honored the angels very highly. But here it says, he has not put the world to come in subjection to the angels, saying that Jesus has a greater part than the angels. But what does he mean by that in the world to come? Now, first observation to us, the world to come would be the world in all eternity, the world to come. But to the Hebrew mind, that's not what they would have thought. For the Old Testament, Hebrews would have seen themselves as the world that God created. And the world to come would be the time in which the Messiah came. So if you just opened up a couple of commentaries, you would see that explained. For example, Matthew Henry commentary describes the world to come, putting that in quotes, as the state of the gospel church. So that Christ ushered in the world to come, meaning the messianic age of the gospel church. Now, John Gill commentary says the same thing. I'm going to read some of his quote. He says, in context, it seems therefore to intend the gospel and the gospel dispensation and church state in opposition to the Jewish state and the legal dispensation, which was called a world. He goes on to say, they had a worldly sanctuary and a worldly ordinances. Now it's at an end, meaning in the writer of Hebrews, as you're going to see, that which is old is obsolete and vanishing away. That which was old was the Mosaic order, the temple, all the ordinances that continued even after Christ's death. The book of Hebrews being written somewhere in the middle 60s, before the destruction of Jerusalem, the writer of Hebrews insinuates that it's about to pass away, it's about to be destroyed, in keeping with Jesus' prophecy of Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, when he says, not one stone shall remain on top of another, and that generation would not pass away till all those things be fulfilled. The writer of Hebrews alludes to that this world to come was not put in subjection to the angels. The angels did not bring the gospel. The angels did not be what Christ became, which was man, in order to bring forth salvation. Now, John Gill goes on to say, the gospel state is very properly the world to come with respect to the Old Testament saints who were looking for it, in which all things are passed away and all things become new. Angels desire to look into the mysteries of it and learn from the church the manifold wisdom of God, but not they, but men are the dispensers of the doctrines of it. And Christ, he is the head, king, governor, father of the new world. So instead of everlasting father, the Septuagint translated Isaiah 9:6 to the father of ages, or the world to come. And so Gill says, hence mention is made the Jewish writings of the world to come of the Messiah. They would have seen the world to come as the time when Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, came. Now, they have rejected Jesus as that, but the writer of Hebrews is saying he is that. He's the one in which God subjected the world to come, or the gospel state of the age. Well, Jameson Fawcett Brown would also agree with that. He says the world to come is the new dispensation brought in by Christ, beginning in grace here, to be completed in glory hereafter. So he's saying the world to come is also our present time, of course, in the consummation of the fullness of it that we know takes place in the resurrection. So the question that the writer of Hebrews is alluding to here is, what is man? And he quotes out of Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 6, and it shows that though God gave man glory, it puts us in our proper place. And compared to God and all of creation, we're pretty small, and yet at the same time, God gave dominion to man, made man a little lower than the angels. Now, Paul says in Corinthians that one day we will judge the angels. So in the resurrection, we take a different place. But here in this world, when God made Adam and his sin, he came lower than the angels in that regard. And now the angels are sent as ministering spirits. But in our redemption and in the resurrection, then we judge angels. At this present time, he says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. This psalm was written about man, but also about the Messiah. It was prophetic. Says in chapter 1, as we read in Hebrews, the writer demonstrated to us that the scripture shows that Jesus is superior to all of the angels, but now he has to show that Jesus has humanity. And the reason that that important applies to us is because what was written about man in Psalm is now applied to Jesus, who has become human. 100% God and 100% man. It's not right, nor would it be biblical, to say that God's merely God, Jesus was merely God, or he was merely man. You couldn't say he was 50% God and 50% man, half and half. You couldn't say that. It wouldn't be appropriate to say he's man on the outside, but God on the inside. Now, there are those who are trying to emphasize today, among us charismatics and people who believe in the supernatural and miraculous, they go out so far, and I think they get in error here, trying to embrace who we are in Christ. They would say, wait a minute, we're like little Jesuses and we're like little gods. Truly, the scripture says that we're the children of God, and truly, we have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. But we're not little Jesuses and we're not little gods. That's important for us to see. Our dependency is upon the man Christ and the God Christ. Jesus was fully man and fully God when he walked here on the earth. When he emptied himself out of his glory, he did not empty himself out of his divinity. Because Jesus forgave sins while he was on the earth, and only God can forgive sins. We cannot in that sense. So what's interesting is when the early church had false teaching, it wasn't so much that they taught that Jesus wasn't God, but the false teachers first had a heresy that said that Jesus wasn't really fully human, that he had the form of a human. He seemed human, but he wasn't really human. Docetism is the term or the Greek word that literally means it seems like. And there was a heretic named Cerinthus who led the way in saying that Jesus was not human. He was divine, but he was not human. And that's probably one of the reasons that John wrote what he did in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, when he says, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, is now already in the world." So Cerinthus lived during the time of John the Apostle. In fact, it's said in our history books that John once ran out of a bathhouse in which he discovered Cerinthus was inside. And he ran out warning lest he be killed in the building for the judgment of God, calling the building to fall upon Cerinthus. He didn't want to be in the bathhouse. He opposed such false teaching. Now, as the writer of Hebrews says, that he left nothing that is not put under him. So he's making the emphasis here that God has put all things, not just some things, but everything in subjection to human beings. And this shows that Jesus must be human because God gave this dominion to humans. Now Jesus exercises this authority. We have a problem, however, that the writer of Hebrews points out. And I believe this brings us into balance. Though I believe we have the authority of Christ and we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are not in charge. We're in subjection to Christ and the Father. Just as Jesus, when he walked here on the earth, the miracles he did, the things he did supernaturally, he did because the Father told him to do it. He did not take it upon his own authority. Sometimes I think we charismatics believe because we've been given authority that's taken up on ourselves that we can do everything. And some believe that if you don't act like that, you have no faith. It's the opposite for me. My confidence is in the Lord. If I hear from Jesus, the Father, to say, pray for that one to be sick, raise that one from the dead, cast out that devil, then I'm operating in his authority. Not in my own authority, not presumption, but faith, true faith. Why is that? Because at this present time, we do not see all things put under him. Talking about man, by all appearances, you would think that the promise in Psalm 8, 4 through 6, where it says he put all things under him, you might say it's unfulfilled. Why? Because we do not see all things subject to man yet. But what does it say? But we see Jesus. The dependency then is upon Jesus. The promise is in the fulfillment of Jesus. And yes, Jesus is in me and I'm in Jesus, but we do not regain dominion of ourselves, of course. But Christ came to end the power of death that Adam brought in, that evil, into the world. So this keeps us in our proper place, I believe. So that we don't think ourselves to be little gods or little Jesus. Now, here in this passage, it says we see Jesus. Now, there'd be some who would think, if I could only see Jesus with my eyes. Well, there were many people who saw Jesus with their eyes and mocked him and rejected him and even crucified him. It's more important to see him through eyes of faith. Even if you were there and saw him in the natural, you'd still have to see him in eyes of faith. Because it requires faith, and that's what the writer of Hebrews says is we see Jesus. Not we're going to see Jesus, not that we have seen Jesus, but he says present tense, we see Jesus now and continuously in this walk. Jesus is the focus. He's the center. If we lose sight of this, we will neglect such a great salvation. We see Jesus as the one who has won all the victories. We look unto Jesus. He says, who was made a little lower than the angels. See, the promise of dominion could only be fulfilled through the humanity and the suffering of Jesus. So the Son of God, who defeated the evil that Adam brought in, which was death, according to Romans 5:12, through one man's sin, death passed unto all. God gave dominion over the earth, but man forfeited it in that sense, and the principle of death took over, but Jesus, it took Jesus as God in the flesh, in humanity, to come in his humility and suffering to defeat death and thus fulfill through Jesus's own dominion, the fulfillment that we as believers rule and reign in him and through him. When it says that man was made a little lower than the angels, this identifies, of course, towards Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels through suffering of death, it says. Meaning, if God the Son had not, if God had not added humanity to Jesus, then he would not have been able to be lower than the angels and suffer for our behalf. Now, he was crowned with glory and honor by the grace of God that he might taste death for everyone. This is important because if Christ had not had humanity added to his deity, then he could not have taken our place and could not have died and regained the dominion that's available. Our confidence is in Christ. Now, the writer of Hebrews makes this very important because to the Jewish persons and even to Muslims today, they have trouble believing that God can have a son and that Jesus can be God. They struggle with that because they do not see the scriptures, as Jesus would say, and search the scriptures and know him. Their eyes are blinded, their minds are darkened to it. But for salvation to be available, for sins to be forgiven, God had to come in the flesh. And the writer of Hebrews is laying that out. And we'll see the importance of it further as we go along. Thank you for joining us today in the Word.